There are so many things in the world competing for our children's attention. Digital devices, television, video games, and other technology all offer distractions from things like reading. So how do you raise a reader in this ever-evolving world of technology and entertainment? Screen time may often be more appealing than reading time for a child, but the importance of reading in a child's development leads some parents wanting to prioritize books over screens. But how do you go about it? How do you raise a reader? Leading Book Authority's Pamela Paul, editor of the New York Times Book Review, and Maria Russo, children's book editor of the New York Times Book Review, provide some practical advice in their new book, How to Raise a Reader. Maria Russo is kind enough to share some insight with us today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Reading is obviously crucial for kids, and studies show that babies and toddlers thrive intellectually and emotionally when they're read to. And books help children of every age expand their language skills and comprehension. So this is critical activity, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. There's, you know, it's not just about doing well in school. It's about doing well in life. Becoming someone who reads independently and chooses to read is also linked to things like executive function, which is just being able to organize your life, organize, set goals, and reach them. All of that flows naturally out of becoming a reader.
And while it sounds nice and cozy, thoughts of cuddling up with a child and reading a book, it can often be stressful for parents when they are sort of trying to begin some good habits for young readers, isn't it?
Right. You know, and I think a lot of parents these days are putting an unnecessary stress on themselves to teach their children how to read. And that's really the teacher's job. You know, your job at home is to teach your child to love reading, to help your child to love reading. You know, that's something that we stress a lot. Every child learns to read at a different age. There's no one age that's the right age. So you shouldn't be worrying, you know, is my 5-year-old reading? Is my 6-year-old behind? There's no such thing, really. There's, you know, between ages 4 and 7, every kid will learn how to read. Unless, of course, there's some kind of reading challenge like dyslexia that you should definitely get an expert to help you with. But all else being equal, kids are going to learn to read at their own pace and at the moment when their individual brain is ready. So there's no need for anxiety and stress around it. You know, I think a lot of parents sort of treat the home like a classroom now. Just got to get them reading, got to push them up the levels. That's really not doing your kid a favor as far as, you know, helping them to become a lifetime reader. And it's kind of almost ironic or counterintuitive, but the best way to help your child academically is to take the pressure off reading, because a child who reads for pleasure, who chooses to read, is a child who does well academically. So you know, you kind of help that by keeping the atmosphere pleasurable around reading in your own home.
I love how the book is organized. It's broken out into 5 parts. 4 of those parts deal with the different stages of child development. Want to dive into them and talk about some specific challenges and practical advice. So part 1 is the born to read section. So we're dealing with infants and toddlers, right? One of the things I like about this, because I do think my children are older now. But when I think back to when we began to read to them, you have certain expectations. And I think it's important now to manage those expectations. One of the things that you point out is don't expect obvious interaction. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, you know, as we all know, it's really important to read to babies. You know, they need to be exposed to a lot of words, and reading is a great way to do that. It's really important to start creating those connections between reading and home and bonding with your parents. But, you know, a 5-month-old baby really might not look like they're taking it in. And, you know, that's okay. You still want to be reading to that baby. You still want to bring books into that child's life that maybe they're going to be the books that the child reads later, the great picture books. But you could also just read any book to your 5-month-old. You can read a grown-up book. It's just about the ritual, the sound of the words, the rhythm of reading out loud, and the physical contact, you know, that that kinetic feeling of reading being held by your parent, that's something that imprints on the baby and is so good for them in the long run.
And not that we want parents stressing over book choice, but what would one look for in a good baby's book?
Well, for your littlest babies, you really should stick with board books because these are books that have very chunky pages that can't rip. So, you know, we all know that there's a certain age where a baby will reach out and rip anything. So, you know, you might want to hold back on the picture books and the books with those rippable pages until your baby isn't grabbing so much. And there's these fantastic board books now, and lots of them have kinetic activities like lifting the flap and turning a little wheel and all of that that keeps your child engaged and that adds to their pleasure in reading. And, you know, beautiful art, beautiful, big, colorful stuff, and words that aren't too complicated. You know, they don't really want too many words on a page when they're that age. They kind of want to turn the pages, you know, themselves if they can, or you turn the pages, and something new is happening on each page, and that's enough, you know. And, you know, so many parents of babies will tell me, like, I don't understand. Why does she love this book? It's just a bunch of faces of babies. They love that. You know, babies love to look at other babies. You know,
yeah.
Get them a book with lots of different baby faces. And lots of, they're learning emotional intelligence there. They're learning what it means to be, what does a sad face look like? What does a scared face look like? All of that. There's just so many great books for babies. And then they get a little bit older, and you bring in the great picture books. Now, picture books are an art form. You know, we all probably remember the great picture books that we grew up on. They imprint on you. I have, you know, incredible memories of Sylvester and the Magic Pebble and Where the Wild Things Are, you know, the books that I was read as a child. So, you know, you can bring picture books in, and that will be a book that your child treasures for life. It's a great opportunity. You know, some of those books now don't hold up. Some of them are outdated and racist and sexist. So, you know, you want to be a little bit choosy about what books you're bringing into your home. But don't forget, a great book that has not aged well, you can change the words.
Right.
You know, you don't have to read the words that are right there on the page.
I do love that after each section, you guys have a list of potential books to choose from. In this section, we had books like Llama Llama Red Pajama and The Very Hungry Caterpillar, a couple of books I read to my children. They were
aren't those great?
Fun. Yeah. Part two, we get to the growing reader. This section is devoted to the emerging reader. One of the things that we talk about in this section, as we are looking to develop a cadence with our children, is taking a cold, hard look at your home, looking at the number of smartphones and tablets and laptops that can drown out the appeal of awesome books. Can you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it's just really true. Again, you know, you have to look at yourself and look at what you're modeling for your children. So, you know, are you reading books, and does your home look like a place where there's lots of comfortable places to read and there's lots of books around, right? You know, the statistic about how many books are in the home, being linked to becoming a lifelong reader, you know, that's really powerful. So, you know, bringing books into your home, giving each child his own bookshelf or her own bookshelf, if you have the space for that, that's a fantastic thing you can do to help your child really connect with books. And, you know, kids are collectors.
Yeah.
They like to kind of line up their stuff. And lots of the great children's books now are in series. As your children get older, there's not just one Dog Man book. You know, we're on number 7 now.
Right.
You know, and so my son, you know, when I let him do his own bookshelf, he just turned 9, and you know, he has his lines up of his Wimpy Kid books, his Dog Man books. He still has the Roald Dahl books that we read together. I read out loud to him. He wanted to keep those around. You know, Matilda and James and the Giant Peach. And he has lots of, he likes facts. So he has an atlas. He likes to look at maps. He has sports statistic books. You know, remember, all of those books are books. You know, don't be judgy and keep a broad open mind about what counts as a book,
right,
so that your kids have lots of opportunities, you know, just for they have a few 10 minutes. What about a joke book?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have a book of good knock-knock jokes? That's a great thing to have around.
Yeah. And speaking of not being judgy, in part three, we get to the middle grade reading. Let them choose their own adventures is what you write. And also, don't criticize their book choices. Be the pipeline, not the gatekeeper.
Yeah, you know, and this can be really hard for those of us who think we have the greatest literary taste, you know, and then all your kid wants to read is, you know, the Flower Fairies books, you know. But step back, you know, your kid loves those books for a reason, and you need to support that. And it's just not the place for judging, and it's not the place for showing your great taste. You know, let your kid read what works for that kid at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of us really like to sometimes just relax with something undemanding,
yeah,
right? How great that your child is choosing to pass time with a book rather than, you know, another round of Fortnite. You know,
mm-hmm,
don't judge that book.
Right. And before I let you go, I mean, one of the things you mentioned at the top of our discussion, which really rung home for me, is letting the classroom teach reading and then making this a fun exercise and helping our children love reading. From my own experience and my own children who relay this story to me today, my inability to be patient with their reading turned my daughter off of a certain book. We had a bad experience with Tippy Bear Hunts for Honey, and she said she never picked that book up again. And if I had to do it all over again, I would just exercise a lot more patience and not run the risk of turning her off to reading.
Exactly. You know, they're under so much pressure at school around reading now. You know, they're being measured and put into groups and you know, they have to go up the levels and all of that. That's all happening at school. And believe me, if your kid is not at the right level or is not in the top reading group, they know it, you know, and they feel bad about it. You know, so you don't want to continue any of those bad feelings at home. Home should be a place where it's really just about enjoyment. And again, don't forget, that's actually going to help them in school, paradoxically, if they become people who read for pleasure.
Right. Maria Russo, along with Pamela Paul, is co-author of the book How to Raise a Reader. They are editors of the New York Times Book Review. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, this has been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How to Raise a Reader is divided into four stages of childhood, from babies to teens, and is filled with practical tips, strategies that work, and inspirational advice. It's widely available wherever you get your books. Thanks for joining us for another conversation on WAER.org.